D's. Verse 8, chapter 5. This one is incredibly important. Because otherwise we'll get seduced. If thou seest the oppression of the poor and violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, marvel not. Now the word marvel there is do not be disturbed about it. It is so incredibly easy, and it has happened time after time after time through the history of the church, where the church adopted a cause. And every time the church adopts a cause as a remember the danger of predetermined agendas. It's a walk that is not the walk of a believer, but the walk of a predetermined cause or an agenda. And the church is seduced. We've seen it in our history, just in our lifetimes. When in the 40s and 50s and 60s, really, when the major denominational churches, the National Council of Churches, they began what is now called a liberal agenda for political action. The cause of civil rights, the causes of the poor, the cause of homelessness, all of these causes, then what has happened to that church? The church has been co-opted by the society, and now it's lost its savor. And we're watching it happening again on the other extreme. Now, the conservative agenda is in thrall by the evangelical Christianity, and we will quickly watch the conservative wing of Christianity lose its power, lose its effectiveness, lose its salt. And it's critical. We again, you know, it appears from, if somebody read our website, that we have causes. But I want you to understand that we don't. Does everybody understand? Are you capturing this? We saw it, in case Ron is listening, I'm going to pick on Ron Black. We saw it happen with Ron incredibly, because he was attracted to us because of our mission or our vision, whenever he thought that was. It was primarily the anti, in his mind, the anti-televangelists and the cause of homelessness. And then that became his food. And when causes become your meat, in other words, you're upset if someone doesn't accept it, then symbolically what you're doing, let's say that you are a priest and a king in the kingdom of God, but your food has become the garment, and the garment can't satisfy. So there's always upsetness. There's always starving, if you will. And so we have to, especially when we do what we do, we've got to be extremely careful that we as the community, I mean, it doesn't matter what people think about it, but as a community, as individuals, there can be no causes, no political, no, none, zero, zip, nada, because we are not of this world. So let me hear this again. If thou seest the oppression of the poor and the violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, marvel not at the matter, for he that is higher than the highest regardeth it, and there be higher than they. Now, throughout the Psalms, there's several Psalms that talks about, they're talking about fret not. Fret in the Scriptures is the opposite of peace. So if you're fretting about something, then you can't be at peace. Fret not yourself because of the evildoers. That sounds like a speech from President, what's his name? The evildoers. Fret not yourself because of the evildoer who prospereth in his way. If you remember, the word evildoers is the same as the word for iniquity. It means self-seeking. Avon. And this... The whole issue here is to understand the vanity and emptiness of fretting or of causes or of visions or purposes or even to the purpose of evangelism. If your purpose is evangelism, you can bet you won't. If your purpose is meeting the needs of the poor, you can bet you won't. Our purpose is to believe on him who he has sent. And everything else must be constantly at risk. If you don't agree with me, if you don't understand, or if you think there's contradiction, then please talk up, speak up.
What if he speaks and then I speak at the same time?
You were first.
When you said they lost their savor, and if the salt part of it is eternal, eternity, then it's whenever you speak of focus on things of this world rather than him, then it starts to lose your savor.
Yeah, because
you can't do anything. You can't be doing what you think you're trying to do.
Right, because you've lost, from God's perspective, you've lost the Holy Spirit. You have grieved the Holy Spirit because you're doing something other than revealing him. It's dangerous. This is a subtle thing.
It's so funny because the eternal component is the salt rather than Christ. Get out of that, you can be using all the same language and everything which you see, and yet the eternal component is missing because of causes, agendas, programs, personal preferences.
I just got through writing an email to Burke about Mark 10. Let me show you something. Mark 10, verse. Let's just go to Mark 10.
But you know, causes
are seductive.
Yeah, okay, good. This morning, my thinking was causes for missions, being on a mission from God. Good. Especially when you're trying to help people.
If your mission is to help people, you won't. I have never helped anyone in my life. You think you have? No, talk to me if that's what you think.
I think I have.
Where is the fruit of it?
In my mind, I thought I helped somebody.
I know, that's where you...
And
the minute you do, you're seduced.
And
the minute you think you're helping somebody, you're seduced.
Yeah, it's a good feeling. It's like a drug.
what I was going to say was, I think we're, as a group, I think we're very good at not having causes. We're not very good at the not fretting, but the part about not having causes, if you go to our website or our mission statement, you look at the things that we do and say, and you would think would be causes, I don't think there's 6 people in this body that read our magazine, much less subscribe to it. I don't think there's 6 people in this body that really care about investigations. I don't think there's 6 people that really care about affordable housing. I don't think there's any, none of this stuff is commonality. And it used to just frustrate the hell out of me, but I'm thankful for it.
Right, I don't care. I don't care if anybody. I mean, it's just, and it'll something will happen. Or I mean, I've said so often, and you know, if I could find anybody else in the world to investigate fraud, I'd do it. I mean, in a minute. Or if we'd simply pass that one little deal. But there's, and again, the only time. That's certainly, you know, like, thinking about all this stuff, it's like, I can't tell you how many times that I was accused in court or in depositions and in court about that I had took a vow of poverty so that I could go after Tilton with impunity. I didn't even know Tilton existed. I mean...
You know, one of the things that occurred to me that's really great about not having causes is you don't have to sign on to an agenda to be a member of the club. So you don't care about investigations. That's fine. You're not, like, in trouble because you don't.
All right, let's go to Mark chapter 10, verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, they came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother. And he answered, and this is the rich young ruler, and said, Unto him, Master, all these things I have observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up thy cross, and follow me. And he was sad at the saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around about and saith unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven, or to the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, Who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all, and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands, with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. Now the 100-fold blessing is what this is about, 100-fold, 10,000% return on your investment. But the irony, we had Pete and Helen had to go to Fort Worth to get a Gloria Copeland book to satisfy the fact checkers, because in it she says this is a great deal. If you give $10, you get $1,000 back. If you get $1,000, you'll get $100,000 back. This is the mystery of prosperity, and I was really struggling over this because, I mean, I know Copeland and I know Gloria, and they're not frauds. And it struck me that for me anyway, I hope you know, that, that the hundredfold blessing is what we receive in community.
Yeah, you know,
but wait a minute. But just think that if Copeland or Tilton or any of them, if they have never seen community, then their mind, your natural mind, interprets it to satisfy greed. But the irony herein is they're using this passage of Scripture to justify the teaching about getting a 10,000% return on your investment when it's about the rich young ruler who was told to sell everything.
Yeah, it's connected to that.
But it's so sad. And the problem is not, you know, the people. The people are probably fine or safe or whatever, but the problem is that the people, the progenitors of this prosperity gospel, have never seen what we take for granted. And so the natural inclination is to sort of have these the same blinders we all have on and see it in the context. My God, this is, I've just discovered a new key to the kingdom of God. And it's not, but then what gets me is when they start using fraud to prove their point. I mean, no, this is, you know, if you talk to 100,000 people and you say somebody out there is going to give, well, somebody's, you know, the odds are somebody's going to be cured of phlegm. And they'll get a testimony or something. But the point is, it's not gospel. It's not the truth. Anyway, who is in talking?
I was rudely interrupted. But there's two things when I was reading this. One of them was that originally, when it started out, the guy, you know, Jesus says he loved him, which I completely forgot was in that, because when you think about that story, you think Jesus saw that he was an asshole and then proceeded to, you know, tell him what to do, but he knew he was going to, you know, but that's not what happened, you know. It's like, look, just a little thing like that, you know, gets in your brain and it's like changes everything.
Yeah, no, I've said before that I think I can prove to you that this rich young ruler is Lazarus, the one that he raised from the dead at the end. But which should give us great comfort.
The twist that I'm seeing with these people, you know, they're fine people in a sense, and yet when they take these scriptures, it's send me your money, you know, or give the money to the poor, do something decent with it. But that's where the worm turns, I think.
But they do that even right. They believe that what they are doing is the true work of God, and it probably is. Maybe not exactly like they think it is, but so I mean, when you are faced with paying $1 million a week for a television bill, and then, well, it doesn't matter if then if I just a couple million of it and build a nice house. I mean, my God, look at it, God, yeah. Hundredfold blessing. It's not that they're evil. That's not any more than anybody else, anymore, especially any more than you or I. And that's what I tried to say in this latest flurry of emails with the New Yorker, is that we're just lucky.
Mm-hmm.
We're not anything special. We're lucky we failed.
Unluckily for them, they succeeded.
You know, in all the time that I've done the tapes and hear these guys talking about, you know, giving money to help them meet some needs somewhere around the world, I've never ever heard them say, you know, meet the need where you're at, you know, in your world.
Sir, I have a question that's completely off the subject, but it came up because of what we just read, and it's always bothered me. In some places, Jesus refers to God as God, and in some places, he refers to God as the Father or my Father.
Is that just the translators? It's, I don't know. It just seems kind of weird.
It's like having...
It seems weird.
Well, it's like having...
Because Jesus was God, right?
No, no, God the Father is in eternity. He
God
doesn't
the
leave.
God the Son, God the Spirit, right?
But don't, you got to see that... Remember, I don't want to drive my little box again, but it's the Trinity is the most mysterious thing there is, okay. But it is absolute.
Okay, I didn't mean to get off on that, because that's not what I'm... What I'm really asking about is, in some places, he refers to...
God as his Father.
Guy as God, and or the Father, and or my Father.
And Lord.
Is that just the Lord? He does, doesn't he?
Yeah, now listen... And if your father was Governor Perry, sometimes you would call him Governor, sometimes you'd call him Dad, sometimes you'd call him Daddy. That doesn't mean there's any change.
Okay, makes sense.
Perry, is that his name?
I'm just seeing this conversation in context of Ecclesiastes. The violent perverting of judgment and justice. You know, we can interpret what other people do as violent perverting of justice in the gospel, you know, the kingdom or whatever, and then we can get a cause about it. I think what we're talking about this morning is...
Yeah, we have every moment. There's nothing that we are doing that has any real importance except believing on Him who He has sent. That's why I've said so often that nothing we do is any more important than anything else. That's why you can't get upset about agendas. Let's assume that the facts, whatever, this fact checker business is just blew up and we couldn't get it done and nothing. And well, so what? Who cares? I mean, that's why, you know, mowing the lawn or trimming the trees or doing dishes or there's nothing that's any more important than anything else from our perspective. Maybe there is from God's, but certainly not from ours.
You know, all the things that have come about don't really change us.
No.
We've got the door. Well, okay, we got a job. We got a TV show. We got an article. We got a this and that. They mean very little. They come, they go.
Well, the time it comes home to me is when somebody like a fact checker or a reporter like Richard Ray the other day asked me, well, you guys have been doing all this stuff for so long, yet they're still on TV. Tilton's back. You know, you haven't accomplished anything. And it's like my response is always, we're not trying to accomplish anything.
Get us off the street.
We're just responding. I mean, all I'm doing is responding to you call me up and say you need something. Or
no.
All you're doing is responding to what's a phone call that comes to you from a network or something. I mean, we're not trying to accomplish anything.
No, and that's why you can, you know, like for those of you that don't know, I told one of the major... the big three networks to put it where the sun don't shine. I wasn't interested in dealing with them anymore. I mean, if I had a cause, I'd never do that.
But if you're insane.
Well, then again, there you go. There you go.
In view of the fact that.
but it's critical. What this is, what we're talking about right now, it has to be the way we view. I mean, all we do is we be. But if you're being without letting anybody else knowing what you're being, then you're duplicitous. You're acting. And that's what can't happen. And because I need you to be who you are. I need you to be whatever it is there. I need you to, if you disagree with something, I need you to say it. I mean, so do we as a body. That's why your disagreements are just as important as an agreement. And if you don't see that, then you're just gonna rumble around and grumble and you know, it's just crazy. Then your thoughts about you won't be worried about oppression out there. You'll be convinced that somebody here is oppressing you. Probably Pete.
That would be the
what?
I was talking to Jordan Saturday, and his publisher of his new book said, Bob, I have a proposal here on my desk for a new book. And having just read it, I learned that you are a yes man and a puppet and a blah, 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 blah. Publisher has a proposal for Wendy Duncan's book.
You're kidding. Wow.
He said, I can only paraphrase, but what the publisher said was, we're not really interested in it. If every allegation in it were true, it would add up to a so what?
It's just a proposal. I've gotten calls from probably 20 different publishers that are press people that has been sent to, and they just laugh at it. But it doesn't matter. I mean, again, who cares? It doesn't matter.
Jordan couldn't figure out what he did wrong.
Well, he was associated with that crook, Harry Getzloff.
Yes, man, I know.
Stephen Fetcher.
Jeez. Another point of view.
But it's all necessary. And we're going to see that in a minute, that, you know, it talks about, it compares all these little things to flies and gnats and fleas.
When David was and Jerusalem.
Yeah, but the point of it is that everything that happens and that has happened in your life is exactly as it should, so that you can reach right now, so that you can be presented yourself living sacrifice without apology, without reservation.
No way.
That's okay.
Okay. A long word for him.
Take a pick.
Did I just steal your thunder?
No, the whole, again, remember, there are no causes. Fret not yourself. There's nothing that's more important than anything else. And there's no one more important than anyone else. But this, you know, and again, and don't, take no pleasure in putting somebody else down. Take no pleasure in these investigations are—it's sad. See their need. And just pray that God would open your eyes so that He would take the veil off, so that you don't just see you, so that you see whatever is going on around you, and you see with His eyes, and you. Can't do that if you have your own agenda. You can't do that if you're hiding. All you can do is open somebody's door for them and think you're doing good. I'm sorry, Ronnie. That was a cheap shot.
Well, it's like seduction is around every corner, and the action is that. Thing is waiting to try and draw you in.
The thing is you.
Thinking how good you are, yeah. That one's a loser.
I'm still caught up in thinking that there has to be a reason for everything that I do or that we do. And
I know.
And I'm wondering, you know, what it is.
Again, that's why you are only. What must. God incarnate was asked the same question. What must we do to do the work of God? Believe on, not in, believe on Him who He has sent, and rest.
You get to thank Paul that much.
Otherwise, you just have a form of godliness, but deny his ability. Just figuring out crap to do. It's just ridiculous. You know, it's hard for anyone to comprehend this. But there is nothing that we are doing that was planned. We just met a need that happened to come up at that time. Some of the things continued, some didn't. It's not our business.
We planned to do other things.
We planned to do a whole lot of crap. And it just sort of went down the drain. But it's so simple. And it's so freeing. Amen? Anybody else? How are you feeling, Gary? Okay, take it, big guy.